Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
That is a brutal slip-up. He just admitted that he's been acting as Trump's lawyer.
Are you and President Trump friends?
I'm his lawyer, was his lawyer, and now I'm the deputy attorney general. So I met him at...
We need to demand answers from Todd Blanche about Zorro Ranch, which is Jeffrey Epstein's fourth estate and doesn't get as much attention as the other three. It is currently full court press on the deputy attorney general as he sits in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee and essentially auditions for the role as the AG. He served as the number two to Pam Bondi for a while, and then after Pam Bondi left, he became the acting attorney general. So as he sits in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he is lying and lying and lying about Donald Trump's January 6th slush fund, lying about the Epstein files, and I really want to point out, as Todd Blanche was walking out in front of Senate Judiciary, the New Mexico Attorney General came out with a new statement pointing out that Todd Blanche has refused to provide anything about Epstein's Zorro Ranch. You know about Epstein's Palm Beach real estate. We know about his little St. James Island. We know about the Manhattan townhouse, which happened to be a girls' school a while back. But Zorro Ranch was a desolate property in New Mexico where letters from victims alleged there were two dead bodies buried, alleged that Jeffrey Epstein had plans to turn it into a breeding ground. Very sick stuff. And the DOJ has stifled this investigation for years and years and years. So when Todd Blanche is talking in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, we even get a callback to the moment during Pam Bondi's testimony when the Epstein file survivors stood up and they raised their hand and they said, we've never been contacted by the DOJ. Let's break all of this down. If you appreciate these videos, drop a like. You can support independent media by subscribing. I love you all. And let's start off with this clip of Todd Blanche talking about the Epstein files and just straight up lying.
Certainly review it and make it available. When it comes to the victims of this horrible man, we will never, never not talk to victims. We will never not do everything we can to prosecute anybody that committed any crimes against any of these women. So that narrative is false. We have spoken with over 30 representatives of dozens and dozens of victims since this process started. Any victim, if they're here today, I would encourage them to or their lawyers to meet with the FBI. We will 100% investigate. There are no closed investigations. If we learn today, if we learn next week, if we learn next month that there's an individual that we can investigate, indict, and prosecute out of the Epstein files, you better believe it, we will. And so we worked hard, the hardworking lawyers within the department to do the right thing with the...
This guy cannot become our attorney general. Now, we're about to get a callback to the moment from Pam Bondi's testimony where Representative Pramila Jayapal begins to press Pam Bondi about not talking to any of the survivors. Watch.
To the survivors in the room, if you are willing, please stand. And if you are willing, please raise your hands if you have still not been able to meet with this Department of Justice. Please know for the record that every single survivor has raised their hand. Attorney General Bondi, you apologized to the survivors in your opening statement for what they went through at the hands of Jeffrey Epstein. Will you turn to them now and apologize for what your Department of Justice has put them through with the absolutely unacceptable release of the Epstein files and their information?
Congresswoman, you set before Merrick Garland sat in this chair twice.
Attorney General Bondi.
No, can I finish my answer?
No, I'm going to reclaim my time because I asked you a specific question.
Attorney General,
that I would like
you
to answer, which is, will you turn to the survivors? This is not about anybody that came before you. It is about you taking responsibility for your Department of Justice and the harm that it has done to the survivors who are standing right behind you and are waiting for you to turn to them and apologize for what your Department of Justice has done.
I want to point out two things very, very quickly. Todd Blanche began his opening statement in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee with two massive lies. He immediately said that when it comes to the victims of this horrible man, we have never, never not talked to the victims. Well, right there, he was proven wrong. Pam Bondi and him as a deputy attorney general had ignored all of the victims, redacted the Epstein files, stopped investigations. That brings me on to lie number two. He then said, there are no closed investigations. We would never stop an investigation. The New Mexico Attorney General, Raul Torres, as Todd Blanche was walking out, released this. It's worth reading because Zorro Ranch is oftentimes looked over and is very, very concerning. This says, the Honorable Todd Blanche. Dear Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche, the New Mexico Department of Justice writes to renew and to make final its demand for access to the complete, unredacted investigative record in the custody of the United States bearing on the trafficking and sexual abuse of vulnerable individuals at Jeffrey Epstein's Zorro Ranch. This is not some conspiracy theory. This is not some random fringe thing. The actual Attorney General of New Mexico is asking for this. It says, the request is specific and readily achievable. In-person review by the New Mexico DOJ personnel of the unredacted records that Maine Justice already holds. The scale of the deficit illustrates why this remedy is necessary. By the U.S. DOJ's own assertions, the department's collection efforts under the Epstein Files Transparency Act identified more than 6 million total responsive records. What are they hiding up? What are they covering? Remember, Zorro Ranch was a subject of an email to a radio station host named Edward. It says, Edward, this is sensitive, so it will be the first and last email depending on your discretion. You can choose to take it or trash it, but this comes from a person that has been there and seen it all as a former staffer at the Zorro. Zorro Ranch was Jeffrey Epstein's secretive New Mexico estate. It says, the material below was taken from Jeffrey Epstein's home as my insurance in case of future litigation. Sorry, no questions. What is damning about Jeffrey Epstein is yet to be written. Did you know somewhere in the hills outside the Zorro, two foreign girls were buried on the orders of Jeffrey and Madam G? Both died by strangulation. Yet the DOJ has been stifling this investigation. In New Mexico, their attorney general has sent five different letters. This makes it six, I believe, in the past 150 days and gotten nothing. There was no investigation until March of 2026, but the problem is, the ranch was bought by one of Trump's allies about 3 years ago, so we don't know what could have been covered up or what could have happened allegedly in those 3 years, but it was bought by one of Trump's close allies that he then endorsed the father of. It says, the U.S. DOJ's response arrived 150 days after our initial request and more than 70 days after its formal TUI submission. By any objective measure, this is not compliance. It's not even a reasonable approximation of compliance. Federal to state law enforcement cooperation is not an extraordinary undertaking. It occurs as a matter of routine across jurisdictions. So they're basically just saying, they even lay out all of their communications. On February 13th, written correspondence to then-Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche requesting access. A month later, March 13th, formal letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi. April 1st, May 3rd. They have been asking over and over and over, and they've gotten nothing. Yet Todd Blanche is now trying to say that that they didn't cover anything up. This is a clear cover-up right here, and he begins to get pressed about this same thing. Watch this.
You disclose those documents. Let me talk to you for a moment about the survivors who are in the room. There are 10 individuals who were exploited and abused by Mr. Epstein. They are here today. None of them have had a chance to speak to anyone in the department or FBI, though they've asked repeatedly. So can I get your word under oath that within the next 30 days, you will personally sit down with these 10 victims and hear their case in terms of what needs to be done by the Department of Justice?
Chairman, I appreciate them being here today. I also have somebody from my office who's spent her entire career working on cases like Mr. Epstein's. She's in charge of our task force investigating human trafficking. She's available to talk to them.
She can sit right next to you. She can sit right next to you when you meet with these survivors.
I have never said I will not meet with survivors.
Will you meet with these 10 survivors? I'm asking you on the record.
If they have lawyers, as you know, I'm prohibited from meeting directly with them. I have met with counsel for survivors, as has many.
But he met with the perpetrator, Ghislaine Maxwell. What?
Many people in the Department of Justice, over 30. But if they are represented by counsel, we will work with their counsel. If they don't have a lawyer, I will certainly make arrangements to make sure the right people at the Department of Justice meet
with
them. Absolutely.
Will you get it done within the next 30 days that each of these survivors...
I will get it done today, if that's necessary. I mean, my point is, there's somebody here who can meet with them today, get their information, and arrange to meet with them.
I think you ought to be in the room.
Pardon me?
I think you ought to be in the room because you ought to hear this. You had singular responsibility for these files. There was a delay in meeting the statutory requirement on disclosure. You were involved in that. I think you ought to be part of this.
I am definitely part of it, and I have been from day one.
Yeah, buddy, we know that you've been a part of it from day one. You've been covering it up from day one. It gets worse and worse. Watch.
And it will be done within the next 30 days?
I can keep on repeating myself, but I said it could get done as soon as today. It could have gotten done last week. We remain available to meet with any victim.
This guy is too easily shakable to be our attorney general. I want to remind you, this was Donald Trump's personal lawyer during the campaign that then fell ass backwards into the deputy AG position, and after Pam Bondi flopped over and over, is now in the running to be the attorney general. Republicans have a slim majority on this Senate Judiciary Committee after Lindsey Graham passed, but even the Republicans on this committee aren't quite bought in. Let me show you Senator John Cornyn, a Republican from Texas who just lost his race to Ken Paxton and is now saying that, you know, the weaponization fund, that slush fund that Donald Trump created for the J6ers, is beyond inappropriate. Listen.
I think it's inappropriate, and that's why it's gotten so much pushback, and that's why he said it's now a moot point, but I'm not sure it's up to him.
Senator, is that the determining factor for your support today, that issue?
No, there's a lot of different issues.
Like what?
Well, you'll have to wait and hear.
Look at the smile on Senator John Cornyn's face. I mean, he's leaving office soon. He has no Fs to give, and he had a plan to grill Todd Blanche just moments later about this weaponization fund. Remember, Donald Trump had his administration sue the IRS, which is also his administration. Then he settled with his own administration in order to give his own administration $1.776 billion in a weaponization fund. Here is Senator Dick Durbin laying the groundwork by talking about the J6ers. Then we'll go over to John Cornyn. Just take a look.
So let me ask you, since you don't believe anyone should be above the law, about the January 6 rioters pardoned. We've taken a look at some of the people that the president pardoned on his first day in office, the ones who attacked this Capitol. And I'll use the word attack because I was here and I saw what happened. Anyone looking at the videos knows what happened on that day. Among those who were pardoned by the president are individuals who've gone on to commit serious crimes against innocent victims across the United States. Do you think that blanket pardon by the president of January 6 rioters was the right thing to do?
I think that the Constitution gives the president the full power to pardon anybody for any reason he wants. And so I don't question President Trump's authority or his decision to do so on January 20th.
You don't question his decision?
As I said, President Trump, under our Constitution, just like President Biden, has the authority to pardon anybody for any federal crime. And that's something that every president, that's a privilege every president's afforded.
What an awful answer. About 9 of the January 6ers have already been jailed again or arrested again for child abuse. Children were directly harmed because Trump pardoned very, very unreliable criminals.
And including President Biden and President Trump.
Well, I can tell you, he may have had the authority to do it, but I think someone should have grabbed him by the arm and said, stop. You can't release all of those rioters. Some of them actually physically assaulted policemen in the Capitol. Some of them were guilty of crimes, serious crimes before that day.
Yep. Now check out Republican Senator John Cornyn. He would have to be one of the deciding votes, and he seems very skeptical.
But let's talk a little bit about the settlement agreement and the release. First of all, I believe you have said that the weaponization fund is a moot issue. Is that your position?
Yes, it is a moot issue, meaning there is no weaponization fund. The weaponization fund is dead. It's not moving forward.
Well, I would refer you to the settlement agreement. Do you happen to have a copy of that in front of you?
I do not.
Okay,
Senator.
Well, you probably know what's in it.
I'm familiar with it, yes.
I'm sure you are. On page 4, this settlement agreement may be modified only upon the written agreement of the parties. Has there been a written agreement of the parties to modify the settlement fund?
No, the settlement fund's just not moving forward. There's no modification. It's just, it never started. No money went from the Treasury to any other account. There's no commissioners. It's not moving forward.
Well, so the settlement agreement remains as it was originally, but I hear what you're saying. Is the settlement agreement enforceable as a contract by the parties?
Well, yes, it's an enforceable document. So I suppose if President Trump's counsel sought to enforce it, they potentially could.
Including the weaponization fund.
Well, they could try to enforce the contract. They can't force the Department of Justice to move forward with the weaponization fund. They could potentially say that, I suppose, that we breached by not moving forward. They haven't done that, and I'm not aware that they're planning on doing that. Like I said, Senator, and Senator Durbin talked about this, but I've talked extensively with you and other colleagues about potentially codifying so there's no weaponization fund, which is certainly something that could be done. And I wasn't meaning to insult.
This guy was literally defending the weaponization fund and helped it come into reality by writing letters to the judge during the case. He is not equipped to be our attorney general. And there's even a moment where he refers to himself as Trump's lawyer. He slips up and says, I'm his lawyer. Wait, no, was his lawyer. Basically admitting in this moment that he was he's actively acting as Trump's lawyer as the AG.
Are you and President Trump friends?
I'm his lawyer, was his lawyer. And
oof, that's not good.
President Trump friends?
I'm his lawyer, was his lawyer, and now I'm the Deputy Attorney General. So I met him as his criminal defense attorney. I'm not sure there's very many people who have ever had a criminal defense attorney who calls that person their friend. I now have a...
Well, let me put it this way. Are you enemies?
No, we're not enemies at all.
You know, they don't have to be enemies, but this entire hearing is judging whether or not the attorney general will be independent from the president or from Donald Trump's control. Pam Bondi was very clearly just following Trump's orders day after day after day, and so does Todd Blanche. So they're all pressing him on the weaponization fund, on the Epstein files, to see what level of independence he will have. He is not passing the test. This has to be one of the most brutal slip-ups you can possibly have.
Are you and President Trump friends?
I'm his lawyer, was his lawyer.
Oof, I'm going to leave it there. He is not equipped to be our AG. He will be under Donald Trump's thumb. If you appreciate these videos, make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe. I'll see you all in the next one. Peace out.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.